welcome to A Deeper Look in the Book. This program is brought to you by Bible Way Community Baptist Church in beautiful Irving, Texas, where our pastor is none other than Dr. Timothy J. Wilbert, Sr. This week, Pastor Wilbert will bring in a series of lessons out of the book of Ezekiel. So go grab your Bible and get close to your radio as we take a deeper look in the book.
I preached a sermon entitled, When God Takes a Vacation. When God Takes a Vacation, out of the book of Judges, chapter 16, verse number 20, when the Spirit of the Lord left Samson. And so what we are doing, we are following up on that. Actually, the next lesson was out of Ezekiel chapter 8, chapter 8 through chapter 11. And we saw how God took a vacation from the nation of Israel. And we also looked at Romans chapter 1 last week, and we saw how God just takes a vacation from a nation, period. Once a nation start getting into idolatry, once a nation start getting into homosexuality, then God will turn that nation over to a reprobated mind to just go ahead and do just whatever you want to do. And basically, that nation will self-destruct. It will self-destruct. And we have saw nations do that. The last great empire that done that, it was the Romans Empire. And when you study the Roman Empire and look at America, the United States of America, and look at our empire, the simulations are very similar. Things are very similar. But tonight I want to go on a little bit further. We looked at how God would take a vacation from nations. And there are three other enmities that God would take a vacation from. Roman number 2, God would take a vacation from individuals. From individuals. 1 Samuel chapter 16. 1 Samuel chapter 16. God was having problem with Saul. Saul began to be very disobedient. He didn't want to obey God, and because he started disobeying God, God was going to have to get somebody else. As a matter of fact, Samuel tells Saul in chapter 15, verse 22, it says, and Samuel said, has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings, as sacrifice, as obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice. To obey is better than sacrifice. God wants you to obey him more than anything. A lot of times people think that, you know, I can just go to church. As long as I keep going to church, as long as I keep singing in the choir, as long as I keep, working on the usher board, as long as I keep paying my tithes, then I know everything going to be all right. God wants you to obey him rather than sacrifice, rather than sacrificing your time in the choir, the usher board, or whatever. God wants you to obey him. Whatever you're supposed to do, God wants you to do that first. Amen. 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 But look at chapter 16. Chapter 16. Samuel is going to anoint David as king. And in chapter 16 of 1 Samuel, verse number 13, it says, then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. Verse 14, but the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord trouble him. So God took a vacation from Saul. He took his spirit from Saul. So just like the spirit of the Lord left the nation of Israel in the book of Ezekiel, we see the spirit of the Lord leaving Saul in the Old Testament. And we saw the same thing happen to Samson. Is that right? Over in chapter 16 of Judges, verse number 20, it says that the spirit of the Lord departed from him, talking about Samson, and it says, and he knew it not. He didn't even know it. He shook himself and thought that he was going to, you know, be this strong man again. But the Lord had departed. The spirit of the Lord had left him, and he didn't even know it. How many of you know that the spirit of the Lord can leave you and you don't know it? Do you know why you don't know it in this day and age? Because in this day and age, the Spirit of the Lord don't physically leave you. But you can feel like the Spirit of the Lord done left you. But how do you know sometimes the Spirit of the Lord done left you, not in a physical sense, but has left you and folks don't know it? Because we got some preachers that still preaching. Deacon still deacon, trustee and doing the trustee, choir member still doing the same thing, and they're making it off raw talent and not the anointing. There are a lot of people just good. They was good before they even got saved. Tell the truth and shame the devil. Some folks are just talented. They come off the street singing. Before they even got saved, they come off the street singing. And they can come right in the choir and sing. But they don't have the anointing. Yeah. Yeah, see, the anointing is what breaks the yoke. That's what frees people. Amen. That's what sets the captives free. Amen. Amen. That's why you just don't want to have talented people. You want to have gifted people. Amen. Sometimes you can make it. A church can make it. How many of you know churches make it off less talent and more gifts? Amen. Yeah. Because see, that the gift is where that sweetness come in. They do it with some grace. See, a person can be a cook, and they can cook good without the Holy Ghost. But they can, once they fix that dinner, they throw the plate and say, huh, come on and get it. But a person who got the Holy Ghost, they can fix it, and they put a little extra with it. You know, they may put a little olive on there. I can't think of the name of this it's the lit green stuff. And I said, well, they put the lit green stuff, kind of decorate your plate with the lit green stuff. Well, what is it called? Oh, they'll put some of that around the plate there. See, they're taking time and doing that with a little grace. Amen. 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 And so, that's what you look for. You look for that anointing. The thing about David, there's one scripture in the Bible, and I've never preached it, but I'm going to preach it one day. David says, thy gentleness has made me great. That's the difference between a person who got it and a person who don't have it. It's the gentleness. Do you know what's ruining marriages? Hello, somebody. Gentleness. See, we done lost gentleness in marriage. Husbands don't know how to be a gentleman. It's your gentleness that makes you. The gentleness is what makes the lady melt in your arms. Yeah. See, you don't have to have the high karate and all of that. If you got some gentleness about yourself. Is I'm right about it. See, you come home slamming doors and say, hey, what's for dinner? What's for dinner? I mean, you talking like that, you're going to get a nothing sandwich. Hello, somebody? Amen. It's the gentleness make you great. And David had the Holy Ghost. Now, let me show you now in the New Testament, because I know what somebody's saying, Pastor, you know, you always talk that Old Testament stuff. Yeah, but let's do some New Testament stuff. Over here in Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 40. I'm sorry, 30. Ephesians 4 and 30. I don't know where that 40 came from. Ephesians don't even have no. Ephesians 4 and 30. Look at what the text says. Let me pick up the context. Can I pick up the context? Oh, my Lord. Look at what the context says, verse 26. Verse 25, all right, because this is the context right here. Verse 25, wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Somebody says sin not. Listen, you can get angry without sinning. Our problem is we don't know how to do that. We don't know how to get angry without cussing. You got to learn how to get angry without cussing. Not y'all in here, but the folks that you know. Y'all looking at me. I know y'all don't cuss. Look at what the Bible says. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down on your earth. Now, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hand the thing which is good, that he may give to him who has need. Let no corrupt communication come out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying. What do edifying means? Building up that it may minister grace. That's some of that gentleness unto the hearers. And here it is right here, verse 30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. How do you grieve the Holy Spirit? See, most of us think we grieve the Holy Spirit by doing big sins. You know, we think that you have to drink and you have to, you know, use drugs, big sins. Just being angry and taking it to the point of sin. Staying angry with somebody. Yeah, that grieves the Holy Spirit. Being bitter in your spirit when husband and wife don't communicate to each other. You think that making God happy? Let me tell you something. Your job one is to make God happy. You got somebody living on the inside of you. You make God happy, then he'll make you happy. Yeah. But if you make God unhappy, that's what we're talking about, grieving him, then you're going to be unhappy. Yeah. But notice now, he talks about verse 31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamoring and evil speaking be put away from you. All right. Now go over here to 1 Thessalonians 5:19, and you got to put both of these two verses together. Turn over to the right, just a couple of pages to the right. 1 Thessalonians 5:19. Look at what the Bible says. Quench not the Spirit. Capital S. Is that right? That's the Holy Spirit. Quench not the Spirit. 1 Thessalonians 5:19. If you don't have that checked, highlighted, marked, highlight that, mark that. Now, that's what we're talking about. When we said God goes on a vacation, what is the two ways that God goes on a vacation? One, where he physically leaves. The other one is what? He stays, but he don't work. It's just like when you go on a vacation, you can leave your job and you can leave the house and you can go to Mississippi. All right. That's one way. The other way, you just don't go to work for a week and you stay right at home. But you still, the company still don't benefit from your employment that week, do they? Why? Because you at home. You still on the payroll. You still work for the company, but you ain't working that week because you on vacation. You don't even answer the telephone. Why? Because you on vacation. Well, that's what God will do. God says, because you ain't doing what I want you to do and you done grieve me, God says, well, I'm not going to do nothing. Because he basically, and it's not so much not God not doing nothing, you done quenched the Spirit. You done kind of like unplugged God. You see, you did it. It wasn't so much what God did to you. Why can't God do me like that? No, why you do God like that? You got a person living on the inside of you and you mistreating them. See, we always see, and folks, you have to be careful with church folks, because a lot of times church folks, they know right from wrong, but what they do, they're called pastor. What you think, pastor, what you think about this here? You already know. Most of the time, if you got an axe, what you're trying to do is alleviate that guilt so that when it go down the wrong way, then you got somebody to blame. Well, pastor said. Yeah. Amen. See, my first couple of years, brother, man, I would be good. I used to feel good when folks used to call pastor. Pastor to the rescue. Boy, I used to feel so good. I done counseled 3 people today. Had to give them some advice. You know, I would feel good, boy. Not now. Not now. Now I say, you got a Bible, don't you? Is Ephesians 5 still in your Bible? Okay, well, yeah, you just need to read. Yeah. What problem do you have with obeying? You know, that word obey. What's the problem with that? You just got to obey. Some folks have a problem with. Hello, somebody. You just got to obey. If the Bible says obey, children, obey your parents. I mean, that's kind of clear. All right, let's go a little bit further. So we see that God can go on a vacation. Basically, we disable God, so to speak. You quench his spirit, just like God is like a fire burning it. But what we do, we put some cold water on God's fire. We put him out. Yeah. And so God basically done went on a vacation. But we was the one that sent him on our vacation. Yeah. Yeah, God didn't want to go on a vacation. You send him on the vacation. All right. And so we have saw that God takes a vacation from nation. He takes a vacation from individuals. But he'll take a vacation. Wait a minute, before I go further, let me show you this other verse on individual. Because some folks in the church think that God won't set them down. But let me show you this verse here. Can I show you this verse? Luke chapter 14. Y'all with me, Bible way. Luke chapter 14. You got it, Bible way? Yeah. All right. Luke chapter 14, beginning with verse number 33. Look at what the scripture says. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he has, he cannot be my disciple. Okay, now that's pretty cut and dry, ain't it? God want to be number one again in your life. See, sometimes whatever is number one in your life has become an idol in your life. And God says, you got to forsake all if you're going to be his disciple. You got to even go look over here at verse 26. Still in chapter 14. He says, if any man come to me, and the King James Bible says hate, and that word hate means love less. Love less not his father or mother and wife. Wife, did y'all hear what I was preaching the other Sunday? Sometimes we put our husband and wife on a pedestal. Higher than God. God didn't give you nothing or nobody to take his place. Yeah. If any man come to me and hate not his father, mother, wife, and children, and brethren, and sister, yet, and his own life. Also, he cannot be my disciple. See, you got to be willing to die for the Lord. See, a lot of times people say, you know what, I had to steal something because, you know, I got to eat. No, you don't. Hello, somebody. No, you don't. Just because you missed lunch don't mean you was finna die. Hello, somebody. I gotta eat. I didn't have no breakfast, didn't have no lunch. And so I just went and took them, you know, man tires off his car and went on pond. Because I had to eat. You ain't even won a day. It's a difference between a fast and a starve. Look, let me go a little bit further. Let's go a little bit further. So that's what Jesus was talking about in verse number 33. He said, you got to forsake not all that he has. He cannot be my disciple. Now, verse 34, he says, salt is good, but if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be seasoned? It is neither fit for the land, nor yet for the dunghill. But men do what? Cast it out. He that has an ear, let him hear. See, Jesus says, he equate Christians or folks that's working for him just like salt. And he said, but if the salt ain't salty no more.
Sent down the glory.
If you would like a copy of the message that you have just heard in its entirety, please call the church office at 972-257-3766. That's 972-257-3766. Or visit the church website at BibleWayIrving.org. That's BibleWayIrving.org. And come by and worship with us this Sunday morning at 11 o'clock at Bible Way Community Baptist Church. And tune in tomorrow as we take a look in the book. Yeah, yeah.